In Mexican lucha libre, there is a subset of wrestlers known as exóticos who compete in drag. It just so happens that one of the most prolific exóticos, Casandro, was born in El Paso and came up in the Juarez lucha libre scene. He also happens to be the first exótico to win a world title. Today, we are dedicating our entire show to getting to know our homegrown exótico, Casandro. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
I am so excited to finally have you here, Casandro. I don't know why we haven't done this before.
I know, and I'm your local guy.
I know. Well, we're here
gonna
now.
We're going to have fun.
Yes. Yes. So let's start with who you are. Tell us about growing up here, how you came into lucha. Just give us your story.
I was born here in El Paso, May 20th, 1970. My Mexican father and mother raised me in both cultures, Mexico, Americano, and I knew already I had this duality of feminine and masculine since I was like 3 years old.
Did your parents know it too?
Yeah. Yeah, my mom knew. And my dad too, but he took it too hard. But anyways, I was born here, raised here, and Monday through Friday, we go to school here. I went to Lamar Elementary, and then Fridays after school, let's go to Juarez, and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, go to the lucha show. And I was like, oh, wow, nice heroes. They were my heroes. No era como Superman, Wonder Woman. No, I could touch my heroes.
Yeah, lucha.
Yeah, they were lucha, and they wore a mask, and I loved them. And then when I saw the women wrestlers, I was like,
you're like, what is this?
Oh, my God. I'm a product of women's love. I'm a product of women. So I respect that a lot. And I was like, okay. I never thought I would be a wrestler, Marina. I was like, oh no, that's too hard.
But you thought, I like this. These are my heroes.
Well, yeah, I liked it, but I'm not to be the wrestler. But, you know, back in 1988, my mom told me that I needed to make a decision because I was already training. I was already wrestling. And my mom was like, and what about school? I was like, no, I'm going to, because I was going to a school for medical administrative assistant.
Okay.
So I graduated in 88 and I said, here's the diploma. See you.
I gotta go to this thing.
I'm going to live in Mexico City. She was like, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm out. Because if I was going to be somebody, I had to get out of the.
Get out of here.
Here, yeah.
Do you think it was maybe you couldn't be yourself completely? Were you out at that point?
I never came out. I was always me. Mm-hmm. I mean, my mom noticed it. My sisters noticed it. They just said, we knew.
Sweet.
Because I grew up with women, mm-hmm. my sisters. I have three brothers and three sisters, three gay or three straight in my family
really?
Too. Mm-hmm, yeah. But I don't know. My mom just, that unconditional love that a mother has for a kid.
Right.
And she gave it to me and she understood me. And then I had an aunt, Marta Galindo. She passed away recently. She was the one that took me in and said, look, there is a world out there that you could be part of it. So she started taking me to the gay bars and to gay events. And I saw people kissing. And I was like,
oh, like what?
What? I can. And I felt so good because I was so struggling with where do I fit?
Of course. But your aunt obviously saw that and said, yeah, you know what? Let me help you.
She was a lesbian too. And they used to beat her up in the family because she was a lesbian and she was always a butch. So, I mean, I always been so femme. So mm-hmm. We knew that I was gay.
Yeah.
You know, all my life. But Lucha Libre was like the hook for me. One of the girls said, my teacher said you can come and train with us one day. And if you like it, you can stay. I was like, oh. I used to go to the gym back then in 87, and it was aerobics.
When
it was the aerobics.
Uh-huh,
all that. Yeah, it was all about that. And then she's like, come train lucha. I was like, all right. So I went, and it was the most hardest thing I've ever done. It was so hard just to train.
Well, you get beat up. I mean, that's training, right?
No. Nothing before you even go to the ring.
Talking about the exercise.
Yeah, and cardio and tumbling and all this before you even get on the ring. So then, I don't know. I just liked it. I saw a very powerful lucha libre class, but also it was like, it wasn't accepting of me, but they weren't saying nothing. But
well,
they were
they
beating
called
up
you.
On me.
Mm-hmm.
More. They were like, when we were practice, okay, let's do this hold. And they were like, really, really.
Like, let's make it extra hard for this
yeah.
guy.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, so this is how it's going to be. But I already had survivor skills. I've been abused physically, mentally, sexually, verbally since age 6. So hasta age 17, that was the last time I got raped by two men here in El Paso at 17.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. And that was the last time I said I was going to, like,
yeah,
let
I'm
myself.
Done.
Like, no more, no more. So Lucha made it better for me.
Did Lucha help you as far as surviving and coping? And
I think Lucha Libre saved my life, because that's where I found the courage. That's where I found a voice. That's where I found that I was worth something, because I'm very detailed, and I was always like, we were going to do a production. I was like, this, that. And I would bring the color in, the glitter, and people were like, wow, you have a lot of brains. So I knew I fit in Lucha Libre.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't know how I was going to make it work, or how I was going to wrestle, because I thought I was going to wrestle with a mascara.
Right.
With a mask, which I did. When I debuted it was Mr. Romano. That was my first name.
That was your first name. And you
with a
luchad
mask.
Not as an exotico.
Not as an exotico, as a straight man, supposedly. And then there was this big company in Juarez, and there was this soap opera, Rosa Salvaje.
Oh, I know Rosa Salvaje.
Okay.
I know the song. We can sing it.
Rosa. Okay. Anyways, they said they wanted an exotico. So one of the old timers came to the training room and pointed at me. He said, come outside. So I went outside, and he goes like, look, you want to be in the big scenes? You want to wrestle in the Gimnasio Municipal, the biggest, like, in Juarez? And I was like, yeah. He's like, well, there's an opportunity, but you have to be an exotico.
You're like, no problem.
And you have to, and your name will be Rosa Salvaje. And I was like, okay, yeah, I like it. But then I thought about the family and everything else, because they made this commercial for the TV, and it said, the son of Juan Gabriel will make his debut this Sunday in Lucha Libre, Ciudad Juarez, and I was like, oh, my God. And my mom was like, do you know who that is? And I was like, no, I don't even know who that is. And everybody starts asking questions. So I had to go to my friend's house and shave all my body, and then she lent me bathing suits and pantyhose. And I didn't use makeup back then when I started.
So
I just,
bathing suit, pantyhose.
And then I got a blouse from my mom, and my sister had a quinceañera dress that they always came out in quinceañeras, and I would like cut them and put a belt, and it was like a rumbera with a lot of glitter and stuff. And then I started using the boas and everything else. The makeup came after.
Really?
I don't know when the makeup came. Yeah.
Well, we're glad it did, just so you know.
It wasn't like I needed to,
mm-hmm.
But then when me and Pimpinela decided we were going to be different from other exoticos, because since 1935, exoticos have existed in Lucha Libre, but they were always the straight guys playing the clowns of the circus, trying to be a little queer or making fun of us, the real gay persons. And so I told Pimpinela, I don't know, I just don't want to be like them. I said,
no, you're making fun of yourself.
I said, we need to dignify with respect and talent what exoticos really mean. Like, that's old school what they did, like make fun
and show
everything.
Them a real exotico.
But now I said, let's do it. So me and Pimpinela and my flower, we brought the pantyhose, the bathing suits, and then the makeup came, and then the rhinestones came, and then all this glitter. And that's how we have evolucionar. But also, what people noticed is that we were really good wrestlers.
Well, you had to be, let's talk about that, because you had to be better, no? I mean, to get in there in a bathing suit and pantyhose and makeup, you knew that, didn't you?
Yeah. I had already been paying the price, because every class that I went from Monday to Friday, I was going to do double or triple the work that just any other guy in the class would do.
Mm-hmm.
But because I was gay, you know, it's a very macho sport and culture, but also Lucha Libre is body to body, and you touch and you feel and,
yes.
And you know, and I think they thought that I was gonna take advantage of them, or I mean, I had to be a man sometimes,
mm-hmm.
And then I had to do my gender most of the times, because being gay for me, I always say this, being gay for me is a gift from God to me, because it's the most amazing thing that I could experience and be living still, using my talent and my platform to overcome a lot of the bridges or barriers that I had to face.
Well, and it seems like as soon as you found yourself and decided to be yourself is when things happen for you. I mean, yeah. That's just a general life lesson, no?
Yeah, yeah. I just needed somebody to guide me to the right way. Mm-hmm. Because Lucha Libre is very egotistic. It's very arrogant. There's a lot of abuse. There's a lot of drugs. There's a lot of alcohol. There's a lot of stuff.
Everything.
Everything. Crime and everything. And it was scary. It's been scary for me. But, I mean, this is my 30th year wrestler.
So it can't be that scary.
It still is.
Really?
It still is.
Do you still get butterflies when you get into
the ring? I still want to throw up and I still want to faint every time I'm behind the curtains until they say, ¿Y con ustedes, Cassandra? And I'm like, everything.
It's on.
That's it. I forget about everything.
Well, today my guest is Cassandro El Exotico. He is one of the most prolific exoticos out there, and he happens to be our very own homegrown exotico. When we come back, we will continue to talk to Cassandro, and we'll fill in. You just came back from Cannes. There's a film out there about him. There's all sorts of stuff that Cassandro's up to. So we'll come back and give you some more Cassandro when we return on State of the Arts.